Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. From Gantara Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 13, entitled Dhritarashtra Quits Home, Text Number 23. Aho Mahi Yasi Janto,
Aho Mahi Yasi Janto,
Jivita Shayata Bhavan,
Jivita Shayata
Bhavan, Bima Bhavaditam Pindam,
Bima Bhavaditam Pindam,
Aho Mahi Yasi Janto,
Aho Mahi Yasi Janto,
Jivita Shayata Bhavan,
Jivita Shayata Bhavan,
Bima Pavajitam Bindam,
Bima Pavajitam Bindam,
Adate Grihapalava,
Adate Grihapalava,
Aho Mahi Yasi Janto,
Aho Mahi Yasi Janto,
Jivita Shayata Bhavan,
Jivita Shayata Bhavan,
Bima Pavajitam Pindam,
Bima Pavajitam Pindam,
Adate Grihapalava,
Adate Grihapalava.
Word for word, please repeat.
Aho,
alas, Mahi Yasi,
Powerful,
Janto,
of the living beings,
Jivitasha,
hope for life,
Yata, as much as,
Bhavan,
you are,
Bhima,
of Bhimasen,
a
brother of Yudhisthira,
Apavarajitam,
remnants,
Pindam,
foodstuff,
Adate,
eaten by,
Grihapalavat,
like a household dog. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
Translation. Alas, how powerful are the hopes of a living being to continue his life. Verily, you are living just like a household dog and are eating remnants of food given by Bhima. purport. A sadhu should never flatter kings or rich men to live comfortably at their cost. A sadhu is to speak to the householders about the naked truth of life, so that they may come to their senses about the precarious life in material existence. Dhritarashtra is a typical example of an attached old man in household life. He had become a pauper in the true sense, yet he wanted to live comfortably in the house of the Pandavas, of whom Bhima especially is mentioned, because personally he killed two prominent sons of Dhritarashtra, namely Duryodhana and Dushushan. These two sons were very much dear to him, and for their notorious and nefarious activities, and Bhima is particularly pointed out because he killed these two pet sons. Why was Dhritarashtra living at the house of the Pandavas? Because he wanted to continue his life comfortably, even at the risk of all humiliation. Vidura, therefore, was astonished how powerful is the urge to continue life. This sense of continuing one's life indicates that a living being is eternally a living entity and does not want to change his bodily habitation. The foolish man does not know that a particular term of bodily existence is awarded to him to undergo a term of imprisonment, and the human body is awarded after many, many births and deaths as a chance for self-realization to go back home, back to Godhead. But persons like Dhritarashtra try to make plans to live there in a comfortable position with profit and interest, for they do not see things as they are. Dhritarashtra is blind and continues to hope to live comfortably in the midst of all kinds of reverses of life. A sadhu, like Vidura, is meant to awaken such blind persons and thus help them to go back to Godhead, where life is eternal. Once going there, no one wants to come back to this material world of miseries. We can just imagine how responsible a task is entrusted to a sadhu like Mahatma Vidura. Om Agnetam Mirandasya Ganandana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangan Laigaiti Gurim Yakripat Maham Vande Shri Gurim Dinatarnam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Dhritarashtra is the perfect example of a conditioned soul drowning in material existence. We should try to understand about Dhritarashtra's position here. That he's in. It's mentioned in the purport here that Bhima, he killed the two pet sons of Dhritarashtra, namely Duryodhana and Dushyant. But it's not just that Bhima killed these two sons, it's also how he killed these two sons. You know, he cut open the chest of Dushyant, ripped out his heart, and drank his blood. It said that when Bhima was fighting on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, it said that his war cries would strike terror into the hearts of his opponents, into the Kurus. And then when he was fighting against Duryodhana, you know, after the battle of Kurukshetra, there was a club fight, a duel between Duryodhana and Bhima. And then Bhima, by the guidance of Krishna, he struck Duryodhana on the thigh. You know, because Krishna knew that this was the only place where, which was Bhima Sen's club could penetrate. You know, because the rest of his body, as we know, Gandhari, she gave Duryodhana the benediction that his body would be made of steel, or made like steel. And that Krishna tricked Duryodhana into covering his thighs so Gandhari couldn't see his thighs. So anyway, Bhima, Krishna, he gave Bhima the instruction to hit Duryodhana on the thigh with his club. Now, according to proper etiquette, when fighting with clubs, that one is not allowed to hit below the waist. And it is due to this blow from Bhimasen's club that Duryodhana lost his life. So this is Dhritarashtra's situation, that he is living, you know, at the cost of great humiliation, that not only did Bhima kill his two sons, but he is taking charity from Bhima. You know, in the Bhagavad Gita we hear Krishna say that dishonor is worse than death. It goes against all the moral principles of a kshatriya, that he's not allowed to accept charity. You know, because we know that the kshatriyas are renowned for giving charity. It's the brahmanas who accept the charity. So this is a very disgraceful situation for Dhritarashtra to be in. And so he is living at the cost of great humiliation, by this, just so he can live a comfortable life. Now, what does it mean to live a comfortable life? You know, we have food on the table. You know, we don't have to worry about where our next meal is coming from. We don't have to worry about financial means. We don't have to worry about a roof over our head. You know, so this is Dhritarashtra is trying to live a comfortable life. Actually, this desire in the living entity to live a comfortable life is so strong that, you know, a woman will kill her father, brother or son just to inherit wealth or property. You know, and a man will commit suicide if he loses his wealth or his sex life. No, isn't it? So this desire to live comfortably is very, very powerful, very strong. So in the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, in the teachings of Rishabdev, there is a very famous verse. It says, Nunam pramata kurite vikarma yad indriya pritya aprinoti nasaru manye yata atmano yam ashan apikleshada asade haha. You know, so this Nunam pramata, what does pramata mean?
Mad,
yes. You know, Nunam pramata kurite. Kurite means perform. And vikarma, we all know what vikarma means, right? It's sinful activity, yeah? So the madness in performing sinful activity, and yet indriya pritya, indriya we know means the senses, and priti means love, love for the senses, the sense gratification. So the living entity. When he sees the sense gratification as the aim of life, you know, he certainly becomes mad after materialistic living and engages in all different types of sinful activities. It says he does not know that due to his past misdeeds, he has already received the body which, although temporary, is the cause of his misery. Actually, the living entity should not have taken a material body, but he has been awarded the material body for his sense gratification. You know, we hear constantly, all throughout Srimad Bhagavatam, you know, Bhagavad Gita, we hear, you know, Dukkhalama Ashashvatam, that this world is temporary and full of miseries. You know, this material world is a place of suffering. And Abrahma Bhuvana Loka Punavarjana Arjuna. You know, from the highest planet in the material world down to the lowest, all are places of misery when repeated birth and death take place. Now, but you know, we hear all this like Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita preaching to us in this way, but still, that's still not enough. You know, we need to practically see how people are suffering in the material world. If you go down to Burke Street Mall on Friday lunchtime, you will see how living entities are suffering, especially in this human form of life. That they are exhibiting this madness, this pramataha. Actually, Prabhupada translates that pramataha in another place in Bhagavatam as specifically mad. You know, their minds and their senses are dragging them. They can see they're being forced. They're being dragged, forcibly dragged by their mind and senses. They're going here and there and, you know, looking for, like, you know, the nice clothes. They're looking for sense gratification. You know, they're madly seeking for sense gratification. We know in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there's a series of wonderful analogies about how the living entities died because of trying to enjoy their senses. You know, there's the analogy of the fish. You know, the fisherman who wants to catch the fish, he puts a nice tasty worm on a hook, you know, and drops it into the water. You know, and the fish, he nibbles away. You know, he wants to satisfy his tongue. So he nibbles away at the bait, the worm in it. And then, bang, the fisherman catches him. In this way, the fish loses its life. There's the hunter who wants to catch the elephant. You know, so the elephant wants to satisfy his genitals. You know, so the hunter, he digs a massive pit in the ground, and then he puts the female elephant at one side of the pit, and then the male elephant, wanting to court with the female elephant, tries to make his way towards her and falls in the pit. In this way, the elephant loses its life. The hunter catches it. There's the analogy of the hunter who wants to kill the deer. You know, the hunter is very expert at playing the flute, and the sound of the flute is very captivating for the deer. And so the deer hears the sound of the flute, you know, becomes attracted. And in this way, when the hunter sees the deer ends its life. There's the one of the bumblebee. You know, the bumblebee becomes attracted to the nectar in the lotus flower, right? The pollen in the lotus flower, and it becomes intoxicated by the pollen. And at night time, the lotus flower closes up. You know, so the bumblebee doesn't realize that, you know, as night falls, you know, the lotus flower closes up, and in this way the bumblebee loses his life. And what's the
moth to
light? The moth to the light, yes. The moth becomes captivated by seeing the bright light, and it cannot control the urge to come close to the light. And the heat of the light burns them more. Amen. So in this way, we can see that living entities, they lose their lives by trying to gratify their senses. What to speak of one who is trying to gratify every single one of their senses simultaneously? Isn't it? And this is the situation of the human beings in today's society. We are trying to gratify all our senses, you know, at once. And that way, we are staring death in the face. You know, death is staring us right in the face. You know, we don't even see it. So there's also the, it said that trying to, I think, yeah, Prabhupada gave the analogy that, you know, the trying to enjoy in the material world is like eating an ice cream with a gun pointing at your head. No? Let's say you have an ice cream in your hand and you're trying to relish the taste of this ice cream. You know, how much can you relish the taste when the gun is right in your face? You know, you don't know when the trigger's going to go. You know, it could go any time. You know, we think, you know, we're young and healthy now, but who has longer to live? An 80-year-old who has 5 years to live, or a 16-year-old who has 6 months to live? Who is older? And so we do not know when we are going to leave. Therefore, this trying to gratify the senses means death. So a sadhu, on the other hand, we've heard over the past few days that a sadhu, the word sadhu means to cut, cuts away ignorance, cuts away. The sadhu will sometimes speak very strong words to a living entity, like in the case of Vidura. You know, he's calling Dhritarashtra a dog. You know, you're living like a household dog. You know, you're being given remnants of food by the person who has mercilessly killed your two sons. You know, so the sadhu, Vidura here, he's actually saying this out of compassion for Dhritarashtra. You know, he's not like condemning him, he's actually saying it out of compassion, wanting to like make him see the actual goal of life. You know, the very embodiment of compassion, Sri Prahlad Maharaj, says some very sweet and instructive verses in the 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. He is offering prayers to Lord Nrsingadev. You know, he says, Naibod vijay paradarate devaitaranyas tvadvirya gayana mahatmita madna chitta shoche tato vimakacheta sa indriyata maya sukharam parma vahito vimudham. Palamara says, O best of great personalities, I am not afraid of material existence. For wherever I stay, I am fully absorbed in thoughts of your glories and activities. But my only concern is for the poor fools and rascals who are making elaborate plans for material happiness and trying to at the end of the translation here.
And setting their life around
love, society, and friendship. Yeah, that's right. Making elaborate plans to maintain their families, societies, and nations, that's right. And in the next verse, you know, Prahlad Maharaj says, Prayena Deva Muniyasa Vimukta Kama Monam Charanti Vijanena Parata Nishta Naitam Vihaya Kripanam Vimamuksha Eko Nanyam Tvarasya Sharanam Brahmato Nupashye. He says that I see there are many saintly persons indeed, no, but they are only interested in their own deliverance. They do not care for the living entities suffering in the big cities and towns. No, therefore they go to the Himalayas or to the forest to meditate with vows of silence. You know, as for myself, however, I do not wish to be liberated alone, leaving aside all these poor fools and rascals. You know, he says that, I know that without Krishna consciousness, without taking shelter of your lotus feet, you know, one cannot be happy. Therefore, my only desire is to bring them back to take shelter of your lotus feet. You know, Prahlad Maharaj, he's using these words, fools and rascals, you know, out of compassion. You know, because he sees that they're madly, you know, engaging in temporary sense gratification. They're seeing it as the ultimate goal of life. You know, out of his intense compassion, you know, he wants to bring them back to take shelter of the Lord's feet. You know, Prabhupada says in the purport that he gives a very relevant instruction for every member of the Krishna Consciousness Movement. He says that the members of this Krishna Consciousness Movement must be fully convinced that one cannot be happy unless he takes shelter of Krishna. If one is not fully convinced, then I suggest you read Prabhupada's books and you try to see how Maya is inflicting suffering upon the living entities. So this is the mood of the sadhu, that he manifests real compassion for the living entities. Actually, we all, Prabhupada created this Krishna consciousness movement to create Brahmanas. You know, that we should all endeavor to become sadhus, develop the qualities, brahminical qualities. You know, in the Bhagavad Gita, the brahminical qualities are given. You know, samodamashtapa solcham shantim arjavam eva cha gyanam vigyanam astikyam brahma kams vibhavajam. You know, peacefulness, self-control, austerity, cleanliness, purity, tolerance, arjavam, simplicity, knowledge and wisdom. Knowledge, realized knowledge is wisdom. You know, when you practically apply knowledge, you get realization, and that becomes wisdom. So every member of this Krishna consciousness movement, even though one may not be have been Brahman initiated, you know, one should still endeavor to try and attain these qualities. They're very important. Lord Chaitanya gives the instruction in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, you know, Yare Deke Tare Kaha Krishna Upadesh Amara Agyaya Guru Hanatara Adesh, that he says that everyone, yeah, should wherever you go, whoever you meet, you instruct them in the science of Krishna according to the teachings of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. In this way, liberate everyone in the land. In this way, become a guru and liberate everyone in the land. So every one of us has to become a guru. You know, that doesn't mean that we all have to accept disciples. It means that we give shiksha, you know, and if the qualification is there, diksha. Every one of us should become qualified to give shiksha, to give guidance, you know, on how to become Krishna conscious. So, we're seeing in this this verse today how Vidura is exhibiting his compassion on Dhritarashtra, you know, trying to give him good guidance, some powerful words to purify, to knock out the ignorance. You know, so Dhritarashtra can actually see his position that he's in. So I'll stop there. Is there any questions or comments or anything anyone would like to add? Yes.
2 points. We talk about the animals and how they lose their life, and how the human being, you know, he's trying to satisfy all his senses. So I've used the example of Bogota. That's like a man who has like 7 wives. He's been away from home for a long time. He comes back, and each wife's trying to enjoy with him. One wife's grabbing his hair. He comes to my room. Another wife this arm. Another one that arm. Another wife the legs. So his position is totally controlled. And then the other point regarding the people want to enjoy even though death is staring in the face, like seeing the ice cream in the gum. So you know, probably use that example, but people are sentenced to death. And you know, they're asked, "What would you like to, you know, how would you like to enjoy it on the night before your own death?" And most people, you know, they want to enjoy with some beautiful woman, or have some nice meal, but can't you actually enjoy it? Death is just a few hours away,
and you know it's there.
And there's a graphic story to illustrate this. Some 100 years ago in France, there was one queen, Mary Antoinette, and I can't remember the name of her king, but they were very harsh on the people, and there was, the people were like starving, they didn't have enough bread, so they were like, you know, complaining to the king and the queen, and the king was saying, what are we going to do about this? And the queen, being very arrogant, she said, "Oh, just let them have cake. You know, how can they have cake if there's no bread? It comes from the same thing, right?" Anyway, so there was like a revolution, and the people, they completely dissatisfied, and they they revolted against the king and queen, and they arrested them and had them sentenced to death. And that they were being taken in the horse and cart and little carriage, closed carriage, to the gallows. And the people on the way, they wanted to, you know, see what the king and queen were like doing on their way to the gallows. And there were some holes in the side of the box. And on the side of the road, some people peered in. And there was the king and the queen having sex life.
Oh, yeah. Any other questions or comments? Or okay. Gantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gajanate Gopemanandu.